Hey man, good evening everyone.
Good evening.
Tonight's excerpt comes from fragments that were gathered from our Passover Rhema from last Friday. And I've been just imbibing since Friday to up to today and just gathering the fragments from it. And it wasn't until this morning actually that I was able to go into the East Sunday's Easter message, but that's how many fragments I've been gathering from Passover. But there's two particular fragments that turned into extravagant meals to me, and so that's what we're sharing on tonight. And it derived from this statement that came from Apostles' notes, and it says, Jesus is our Passover. It says, from the blood on the door, which exempts us from death, to the Red Sea, which swallows all of our enemies, all the way to the promised land that flows with milk and honey. That there is Jesus, our Passover. And when I read this, I could see the relief and aid where we're exempt from death, and the swallowing up of all of our enemies, whether it be enemies within ourselves or enemies at things that come at us. I could see God bringing forth the headstone, just laying them in their grave.
Bless God.
In the promised land that flows with milk and honey, I see just our festival. So Jesus, our Passover, is just all in these three lines here. You can see just the fullness,
amen,
of his Passover that he's given unto us. And from this segment right here, I just continued reading in where we were in Exodus 12 in the Passover at Rhema. And I went on into chapter 13, and I noticed there that it mentioned that they were not to eat any unleavened bread for 7 days. It said from the 14th to the 21st. And it said that they were not to work also, except what it was required to eat, meaning, you know, you can work and cook your food. In the morning of this Rhema, it was funny because I checked the forecast for work, because in my business, if it rains, there's no work. I can't work because I have window cleaning and pressure cleaning. So nobody wants their windows cleaned in the rain. So I had checked the forecast after I had gotten this Rhema. And I noticed that we have rain for the whole entire week, as everybody here in Florida knows. And I said to Mark, because I had just read that day that they were to keep the feast of the unleavened bread for 7 days. And I was said to the Lord, I was like, you got jokes. And I was saying that because, you know, I have work this week, you know. But in all sincerity, when I at the moment I saw it, in the moment I said, you know, you have jokes, I said, so be it. If it's this week that I keep the Feast of Unleavened Bread, which I know, I'm just saying it as, you know, an analogy, because I know our unleavened bread is every day. But it just was a coincidence that it was a week and we just had celebrated. <Yes. throat> Because generally, I'm a work-minded person. In my mind, if I don't work, or if I can't work because of situations of rain, I don't make any money. But during the Passover Rhema on Friday, something broke for me.
Yes, God.
And that breaking, and all the fragment gathering that I did, just from literally from that Friday to that Monday is when I got in these particular fragments and these rhemas that I'm going to share. But that breaking and the fragment gathering enabled me to say, it's all good. Yes. You know, I can keep this week and just break bread with you. I can commune with you this week. Amen. And it's okay.
Yes, so.
So moving right into tonight's, I continued reading in chapter 13, and I noticed another instruction that was given to the Israelites in their departure from Egypt. They were to sanctify unto him all the firstborn. Now remember, during the Passover, God slew all the firstborn of the Egyptians, both man and beast. And so we're going to look at the instruction that was given, and that's in Exodus 13. And we're going to look at verse 2 and 3. It says, "Sanctify unto me all the firstborn. Whatsoever openeth the womb among the children of Israel, both of man and of beasts, it is mine." And Moses said unto the people, "Remember this day in which you came out from Egypt, out of the house of bondage. For by strength of hand, Jesus, the Lord brought you out from this place. There shall no leavened bread be eaten." God then gives them instruction to give unto their sons. So what he says here, he wants them to continue to share with their sons. And that's in verse 8. "And thou shalt show thy son in that day, saying, this is done because of that which the Lord did unto me when I came forth out of Egypt." Verse 15 and 16. "And it came to pass, when Pharaoh would hardly let us go, that the Lord slew all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both the firstborn of man and the firstborn of beast. Therefore I sacrifice to the Lord all that openeth the matrix, being males, but all the firstborn of my children I redeem. And it shall be for a token unto thine hand, and for frontlets between thine eyes. For by strength of hand the Lord brought us forth out of Egypt." So the instruction here was to sanctify unto me all the firstborn. This was the instruction that we got when they first came out of Egypt. And we see the response was, "Therefore I sacrifice." The action in the sacrifice shows there's an acknowledgement.
Jesus.
They recognized of they were brought out of Egypt.
Yes.
So they said, "Therefore, I sacrifice."
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
And this ties right into our propitiation. Because in every bite down in Rhema, in every moment we are conformed to his death, we are seeing our Passover manifest in our lives.
Yes, Lord.
We are seeing our exodus from bondage.
Hallelujah.
We're seeing our enemies drowned in the sea. Propitiation truly is our vision. And as we see it, we take that moment and we too honor with our first. Hallelujah.
Glory, God. Glory be to God.
Hallelujah.
Now let's take a look at what our first is unto the Lord. Our first, given in a place of propitiation. In verse 12, it says, "That thou shalt set apart unto the Lord all that openeth the matrix, and every firstling that cometh of a beast which thou hast, the male shall be the Lord's." It says, "Thou shalt set apart unto the Lord." The word "set apart" means pass over.
Bless you.
Every first fruit we set apart is our Passover sacrifice unto the Lord. With our first, we're remembering the strength of his hand.
Come on now. Come on.
And we see his strength by way of propitiation. every time we're conformed to his death, it's the strength of his hand.
That's right.
We're delivered from bondage. Our enemies are drowned in the sea. His life superimposes ours, and we can see our promised land.
Yes, Lord.
And yes. Therefore, we sacrifice.
Yes, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
But there's one more element of this strength of hand, and I call it strength swap.
Yeah.
Strength swap. Let's take a look at Psalms chapter 105, verse 36. And it reads, he smote all the firstborn in their land, the chief of all their strength. Now, I had to read this a couple times, and every time I read it, I'm like, something's here. It says, he smote all the firstborn in their land, the chief of all their strength. So what it's saying here is, in the eyes of the Egyptians viewed their firstborn as being the chief of all their strength. What does the word chief mean? The word chief means first fruit.
Oh, bless God.
So the Egyptians' firstborn was the chief. It was their chiefest portion. They were the first fruits of all their strength. But let's see what this word strength means. Strength means effort, ability, success, wealth, goods, power, and might. So to the Egyptians, their firstborn was viewed to be all of their success. It was, they were all of their wealth, all of their power, all of their might. And this strength was of their own effort and of their own ability. But God smote all of their strength. And I wondered at this. I wondered, did God smite all the strength of the Egyptians just to show the Israelites that their strength could never be of their own?
That's what he did.
And I say this, and I say that because if you really think about it, in our own efforts, we too can find a sense of strength. In our own abilities that we think we have, we find a sense of strength.
It's truth.
In our own personal success, all that we think we have, all that we think we've acquired, we find a sense of strength. What we hold in wealth, what we have in our bank accounts, our 401k, our stocks, we find a sense of strength. What we possess in goods, in autos, in houses we own, we find a sense of strength.
So true.
The fact that we think we are in control,
Jesus,
and function in our own power, in our own might, we find a sense of strength. But God, in smiting the strength of the Egyptian firstborn,
come on now,
he declared unto the Israelites that it will not be by your ability.
That's right.
It's not going to be by your might, neither by effort, neither
by Jesus,
or your wealth. But I, the Lord your God, pass over unto you my strength.
Hallelujah.
I conform you to my death. I resurrect you into my ability.
Hallelujah.
Into my, hallelujah.
Into my power. Into my success. Into my wealth.
Hallelujah, Jesus.
And for this reason, TGM, we can say, therefore, we sacrifice.
Yes, God.
We set apart. We pass over unto you our first, O Lord, because you are our strength.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Yes. Ooh, glory.
Hallelujah.
You are our strength.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We pass over unto you, Lord.
Hallelujah, God.
We pass over unto you, Lord.
Hallelujah, Lord.
Our strength, God.
Hallelujah.
We lay down our strength, Lord God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You are our strength.
My God, my God, my God.
Hallelujah. You are our strength.
Yes, you are. Glory be to God, Jesus. Glory be to God. Jesus.
Yeah.
It wasn't by chance.
Oh, Jesus.
It wasn't by chance that the Lord commissioned them after taking the Egyptian strength, their firstborn. That was their future. That was their security of knowing. And I know this. And I'm so fascinated by this fragment, this meal.
Oh.
I'm fascinated because I've taught on first fruits and tithes for years and how it was the worship that God required. And I've taught on every year, I teach on for the last 24 or so years, the Passover. And to see the Lord fuse these two together like this, to understand that I smote the firstborn of the land. The cry that came out of the Egyptians' mouths was not just because they lost a son or daughter, but they in essence lost their future.
Yeah.
They lost their wealth, their goods, their success, their successors that would come after them and keep it moving forward. And then for God to establish the order of worship, and I'm using the word worship, for God to establish the order of worship in giving the first, right after he did what he did to the Egyptians, they were the most powerful force that on the earth at the time.
That's
no
right.
Other nation was more powerful than Egypt. And for God to do what he did and then require that the Israelites would give him the first of the everything that opens the womb.
Yes.
He's saying, you're not going to go in their way. You're mm-hmm. not going to be like them.
Hallelujah.
You're going to recognize that I brought you out with the strength of my strength of hand. And then I'm going to make an exchange with you that you'll never lean on your own.
Hallelujah.
So when we honor God with a first fruit, we are telling God that we're never going to lean on our own strength, our
Lord.
Abilities, our success, our wealth. We're not. We're going to honor you, Lord, and lay down our strength and get the exchange of receiving yours. In the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 26, it says this, and this is what the Lord said, that after he would reveal where they should worship him with this first fruit and with their tithes. This is what he said to them. Yeah, we know that the Deuteronomy begins here. The law is really established here. But I love what the Lord says here because he reconnects this declaration that they should make back to when he established the first fruit coming out of Exodus, which was already established with Cain and Abel.
Mm-hmm.
It was never something of the law. It was always about worship.
Amen.
It was always dealing with worship.
Yes.
And it says this in Deuteronomy 26. Now I'll read this 1 through 11. It says, and it shall be when thou art come into and unto the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee for an inheritance, and possessest it, and dwellest therein, that thou shalt take of the first of all, all the fruit of the earth, which thou shalt bring of thy land, that the Lord thy God giveth thee, and shalt put it in a basket, and shalt go unto the place which the Lord thy God shall choose to place his name there. And if you are one that receives Rhema,
hallelujah,
you are the place where the Lord thy God has chosen to put his name there. Bless if God. You can hear this Rhema word, this is for you. And thou shalt go unto the priest that shall be in those days, and say unto him, I profess this day unto the Lord thy God. Listen, listen, this is the declaration, that I am come unto the country which the Lord sware unto our fathers for to give us. And the priest shall take the basket out of thine hand and set it down before the altar of the Lord thy God. Verse 5 says, and thou shalt speak and say, listen, before the Lord thy God, a Syrian ready to perish was my father. And he went down into Egypt and sojourned there with a few and became there a nation, great, mighty, and populous. And the Egyptians evil entreated us and afflicted us and laid upon us a hard bondage. Verse 7 says, and when we cried unto the Lord God of our fathers, the Lord heard our voice and looked on our affliction and our labor and our oppression. And the Lord brought us forth out of Egypt. Here it is again, with a mighty hand and with an outstretched arm and with great terribleness and with signs and with wonders. Verse 9 says, it says here, and he hath brought us unto us into this place and hath given us this land, even the land that floweth with milk and honey. And now behold, I have brought the first fruits of the land, which thou, O Lord, hast given me, in case anybody thinks they're making their own way, it's been the Lord that has been giving it to you.
Yes.
And
yes,
thou shalt set it before the Lord thy God, and what? Worship before the Lord thy God.
Hallelujah.
He's telling them here, this is the declaration. This is how we're going to do it. All of the increase, everything I bless you with, bring me the first. Why? Because I'll exchange. It'll be my strength for your strength. You'll worship me with the first.
Yeah,
I took their strength out of their hand. Now I'm showing you how to lay your first down and put it in my hands.
Yes, Lord.
And I will build you, strengthen you, and cause you to prosper. And it will be by the strength of hand that brought them out that night in the land of Egypt. And thou shalt rejoice in every good thing which the Lord thy God, hath given unto thee and unto thine house, thou and the Levite and the stranger that is among you. This is the order of worship. It wasn't about being the order of the law. It was making and securing a people that would never have the mindset of Egypt ever again. The mindset of Egypt was broken that night.
Yes, it was.
He broke the mindset that night. He let them know, listen here. I am the Lord of heaven. I am the Lord of the earth. It's been by my strength. Pharaoh has nothing to do with this. And God proved to them in a night and broke them down, that great and mighty nation, that great and mighty Egypt. And God broke them down. He took their first. He took what they thought was their strength. Then he made a covenant with the Israelites. He made a covenant with us. If we would honor him with our first, lay it at his feet. We don't need the death angel to come over us. We know where our strength is coming from. So we lay our first freely at his feet.
Yes, God.
And we worship him. And when we do, we're telling him we are totally connected with the Passover. The book of Corinthians tells us there that Christ is our Passover. This is a part of our worship. We eat the meal all the time. We're eating the meal that he changed from lamb. Now he changed it to bread and wine. He changed it to his flesh and his blood. When we eat the meal, and in the height of the meal, if the Lord has increased you, release your first fruit. Release unto the Lord your tithe. Worship him. Worship him with it. It's not about I have to. It's about this is what I want to do.
Mm-hmm.
Because every time, like Elder Allison said, every time I get in this word, every time I get in this now word, what a Passover that I receive. Mm-hmm. I am made conformable unto the death of the Lord. I am in the pathway of Exodus. And in Exodus, in that Exodus, they carried out silver. They carried out gold. There was not one feeble one among them. They were healed, everybody that was in the Exodus. And now we just honor him here. What an exchange of worship. What an exchange we make with him here when we lay it down. Lord, this is the increase that I received while moving in my Exodus place, while being under the festival of Passover. This is what you've done for me. And here I am to lay it down at your feet. Never will I ever call this increase my strength. You are my strength.
Yes, you are.
Hallelujah, Lord.
You'll never have to come for me. The blood is always over my door.
Yes, God.
My staff is always in my hand. And I'm always eating and moving in your Passover.
Hallelujah, Jesus.
This is an amazing, amazing fragment. Amazing fragment here. And if you let your mind be elevated, you'll come up out of completely out of where it was ever constituted to be of the law.
One step.
Because even here, people of God, God instituted it through after the Exodus. There was no law ever written. Moses hadn't gotten the tablets of the Ten Commandments for about probably another 10 or so chapters, which is years in when they were in the wilderness. God required, the first thing he says after the Exodus, give me your first, please.
Hallelujah, Lord God.
Yeah.
The first thing after Exodus is everything that opens the womb, everything that openeth the matrix, sanctified unto me, man or beast.
Yeah.
I'm not going to let you have an Egyptian mindset. I'm not going to let you get caught up in thinking that wealth and prosperity is how you're succeeding. But it's my strength of hand.
Yes.
It's me. And so I'm just blown away by this. I'm so overly blessed by this truth.
Yes, yes, yes.
Now, a lot of you are probably saying, what is a first fruit? What does that mean? I don't even know the difference between the tithe and the first fruit. If that's you, we can begin to build you up. We can begin to cause you to understand what it is to give a first fruit. That's not what we're trying to do tonight, but we're trying to show you the importance of worship with it and the disconnect that comes from this world system. It's truly amen. Powerful.
Amen, God.
Amen, Lord.
Thank
you. It's truly powerful.
Thank you.
And so if you ever need to know, you want to know more, you can inquire. You can get a hold of Elder Allison and we can get you the resources. It's very simple. It just will teach you how to give. It will become the most of the chiefest portion of your giving. If you have a $10 tithe, you'll know to listen for first fruit that comes in above the $10. You give your 10th over here, and then you give your first fruit over here. and you honor the Lord and you lay it down at his feet and you tell him, listen here, Assyrian was my father. Yeah, he was in Egypt. And the Egyptians treated him badly there. You can equate that to yourself. I was a Syrian myself. I've been in bondage and the world has treated me badly. There hadn't been any success for me here. It tried to kill me. It tried to run me down. It tried to make me lose my mind. But you came and brought me out, Jesus, with the strength of your hand. And now this world's power, this unrighteous mammon, I lay down at your feet. I give you above my tenth. My mind is geared and ready to listen to what you would ask of me, what you would require of me. My heart is ready. I'm a cheerful giver. I'm ready to release into you. So my tithe is 10. What would you have me give for a first fruit? And he might tell you 12 or 15 or 20. And then you just honor him. And you worship him.
Amen, God.
Because how you're experiencing your exodus. How you're experiencing him as Passover. Truly powerful. Awesome. Truly, truly powerful. This is what Elder Allison says. This is what was in the prayer. Now take one step out of Egyptian religion. And I love that, Elder Donna, that you chose that prayer. You don't even know how awesome that was. Now take one step, everyone, out of Egyptian religion. I'm not getting tied into where they were. I will honor the Lord with my substance and with the first fruit of all of my increase.
One step.
I will honor him. Amen. Truly powerful.
Amen.
Truly powerful. Amen. That's all for tonight, everybody. Elder Allison will be doing a final excerpt on this on Sunday. Then I will be getting back into our message on elevated peace. We are still there. This is all a part of elevated peace.
Yes, it is.
This is all attached to elevated peace. It really